All right, Faithful God is my title of this sermon. And I got the definition from Lagos. The definition of faithfulness reads like this. This is the concept. God's perfect loyalty and consistency in being true to his name, character, and word. Amen. God is perfect with loyalty, consistency, and being true. He can't lie. His name holds a high character name. Amen. He has a good reputation, and his character is attached to his word, meaning that he keeps his word. He does what he says. Our response as believers is to be full of faith and trusting in God. Our job is to have full faith and trusting in the faithful one. It's not so much that I'm faithful or trustworthy. It's more so that I put my faith in the one who is worthy, who is faithful. Y'all following? So I want to bring three thoughts this morning on how God produces this faithful work. First one is, see God's faithfulness, excuse me, in his story. Find God's faithfulness in your story. Trust God's faithfulness for today and tomorrow. The first thought is this: see God's faithfulness in his story. The Holy Spirit wrote a book, the Bible. There's a main character. It's God. He's faithful. He tells us on who he is. And he keeps what he wrote in this book. He keeps his promises. It's his story that tells his faithfulness. The ultimate story, the greatest book of redemption, of a personal God who is faithful from Genesis to Revelation. He keeps it. It's his nature. His nature is eternal. There's no beginning. There is no end. He's outside of time, meaning that he's eternally faithful. Amen. That's good news. His nature is omnipotent, all-powerful, and able to do anything consistent with his nature. God is all-powerful to save. He's faithful. God's nature is omniscient, meaning he knows all things. The psalmist says this in Psalms 139, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up, you discern my thoughts. You know my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my laying down and are acquainted with all my ways. You know, in the 21st century, we go live on social media. We've been going live ever since God was forming us in our mother's womb. God sees us. He knows us. Amen. God's nature is omnipotent, omnipresent, meaning he's faithful to be everywhere present, not limited by space or location. It's his nature. The psalmist in this same psalm says, where should I go from your spirit? Where should I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, in the grave, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there, your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. He's everywhere, at every place. God proclaims his faithfulness. Isn't that dope?
Yeah.
What are you proclaiming this morning? God proclaims, I'm faithful. There is a section in scripture in Exodus 34:6, when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments for the second time. The first time he gave it, Moses went down and his people were unfaithful, worshiping idols. God gives Moses the second tablets, his commandments. And Moses says to God, God, I want to see your glory. I want to see your face. You can't. I'm going to pass by you. And this is what he proclaimed. The Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. God's faithfulness is unchanging. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus, the Christ, is the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus in the past was busy creating. Amen? Jesus today is faithful to save. Jesus in heaven with glory and dominion is on the throne of God ruling. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's who he is. It's who he says he is in his story. God is faithful to his promises in his word. It's in the book. In Numbers chapter 23, verse 19 and 20, there is this king from Moab. His name is Balak. Wants to curse God's people. So he hires this prophet who's not a false prophet. His name is Balaam. He's just wicked. He loves money. But the dude can really hear from God. Read it. It's awesome. Balaam says, hey, I know God. I know that when he speaks, it has authority and he can't lie. I don't know if he's going to curse you. I got to go to the one who's able to do it because I can't. So he goes to God and he receives this word from God. And this is what he says to King of Moab. God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? Behold, I receive a command to bless. Yeah. He has blessed, and I cannot revoke it. God is not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should have regrets. The prophet knew that God, when he speaks, it is done. And when he spoke, God blessed. His story, we see it. It's faithful. From Genesis to Revelation, he proclaims Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's all-knowing. He knows the end in Revelation as the beginning in Genesis. And in Revelation, God gives a vision to John. This vision, he sees the Antichrist in power, receiving worship. All those people who were not sealed, saved by the Holy Spirit, all the people who did not believe in Jesus, the Messiah, all the people who were not written their names on the Lamb, the Book of Lamb, the life where life happens, where eternity happens, where salvation is pinned down, those people are not written in his book. The Bible says that before the foundation of the world, the Lamb of God was slain. Revelation 13:8. Before the foundation, before God created anything, in his all-knowing, in the last book of the Bible, he says, my plan is Jesus, the Lamb of God, being slain. Genesis tells God's story of his faithfulness. And it reads like this. Genesis 3, God is speaking to the enemy, the serpent. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. God's story is faithful from Genesis to Revelation. God said there's going to be this seed from a woman that's the Messiah that's going to stomp the head of the enemy. But he's going to be hurt. From start to finish, God shows his faithful story. It's what Jesus says in Matthew 20:28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. 1 John 4:10 says, and this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation. You gotta make a face like that to be able to say the word right. For our sins. Meaning Jesus satisfied the wrath of God. That's his faithful story. From beginning to end. 2 Timothy 2:13 says this regarding God's faithful story. If we are disloyal, come on, he stays faithful because he can't be anything else than what he is. It's his nature, it's his essence, it's his character. His character is to be faithful. He's God. He's not a man that he shall lie, or the son of man that he's going to have regrets. When he spoke it, it is done. How should we then respond to this great, faithful God? My second thought, find God's faithfulness in your story. How many of you know and can look back that God has been faithful? Two hands. That we can look back and see the faithfulness of God. Hebrews 11 is a great chapter, the great hall of faith. Faithful men and women that believed and trusted with full faith that God was able to keep his promise. Abraham is one of those characters. In Hebrews, there's this recap in Hebrews 11. The recap is from Genesis 22. God gives a promise to Abraham that he was going to give him a promised son. Through that son, the family of God would expand and grow. In Genesis chapter 15, God gives Abraham a vision. God takes Abraham outside and he says, look up. You see the stars? You see the number of the stars, how vast they are. That's the number of your lineage. This is how it reads. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested to sacrifice his son, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise was in the act of offering up his only son. He already put him on the altar. He's about to sacrifice his son. And this is what the word came. This is God's promise. Of him who was said, though Isaac shall your offspring be named, he considered that God was able to raise him from the dead. This is how much faith he had in God's promise. This is how much trust he had that he would sacrifice his own son. And he obeyed. He said, God's so faithful, if I was to do it, he'll bring him back to life. Which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Abraham was tested by God to sacrifice his son. Abraham obeys God. Then divine intervention takes place. The angel of the Lord appears. Right when Abraham was to follow through and obey God, the angel stops Abraham, and God provides a substitute, a ram, a sacrifice. God was able to be faithful. It's who he is. And Abraham was able to experience his faithfulness. Surrender, obedience, trust. Belief. He names God Jehovah Jireh,
yeah,
which means the Lord will provide. Abraham saw God to be faithful in his life. I want to share with you that I can look back and I can see the faithfulness of God. In June 28th, 2009, I had a horrendous car accident. This car exploded. If we can put it up, that's the passenger. That's the driver's seat. That's the wheel. And I was in the passenger, burning up, not knowing God, in my sin, not knowing the gospel, headed to hell. But God was faithful to keep me. God was faithful to keep me alive when I had a negative 5% chance from this car explosion. 80% of my body burnt up, majority fourth degree. Not a lot of people are able to survive that. When the doctors told my mom something different, God says, I'm gonna be faithful and I'm gonna keep him alive. Hey, he's gonna be a little extra crispy. He ain't gonna run like he used to. He ain't gonna be able to shoot a jump shot like he used to. But man, I'm gonna use this man. I was able to see God's faithfulness through this car explosion. People kept saying, God has a plan. He's gonna use this for your good. He has a purpose for your life. It came a point in my life that I had to surrender it. I had already prayed. I had already asked and repented. The gospel was already preached to me, and I accepted Jesus in that hospital bed. And my prayer was, God, I don't want to live like this. Take me. God has a sense of humor, and he said, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to wake you up. I was in the hospital for over a year. A month after I left the hospital, I go to this little Pentecostal church. I grew up Catholic. Out of all places, I go to this Hispanic Pentecostal church. Amen. They seat me in the front. That Sunday morning, church family, I was in my room weeping with the door closed. The enemy was attacking me. I was believing the lies. Look at your body. You're a beast. Look at your hands. You have no legs. Look at your scars. Who's gonna want you? You have no purpose. You should kill yourself. Weeping. You're never gonna find love. You're never gonna get married. No one's gonna ever want you. So I go to this church. The man of God is delivering the sermon. In the middle of the sermon, he comes up to me in the front and he says in Spanish, I'm a man of God. And if I don't tell you this, I'm gonna get in trouble by my God. And he says, I saw you in your room weeping. And when I heard that, I knew that it was God. Only he was present. Only he knew what I was going through. And while I was weeping and crying, I didn't know what else he was saying. But when I heard that, I knew it was him.
Yeah.
And then he said this. The Lord says that he's going to give you a wife and a family. I lifted up my arms. That was like why I was weeping so hard. And the Lord was faithful. And my wife is in the front row right there. And we got married last year. He's faithful. Even when I'm not faithful, he stays faithful because that's who he is. Guys, I went back to work a year and a half later when I left the hospital. I was working at a real estate company. After 3 years in, those last 6 months, I had this holy uncontentment. I already had been walking with the Lord, connected with Pastor Hayden and Nina, and man, I'm on fire for Jesus. I'm going to work, all that. And then this last 6 months, I knew that my time was up. And after the 6 months happened, I put my 2 weeks in. And I told the vice president, I said, hey, put my 2 weeks in. What are you going to do? Do you have a job? I said, no, I don't. This is like steady income. And he says, What are you gonna do? I said, I'm gonna live my dream.
Come on.
Yeah. He said, What's your dream? I said, I'm going to work for God. Todd, the vice president, goes, you do know that you can work your dream and still keep a job, right? He said, we love you here. You can come back anytime. A month later, family, I get offered a job through FCA. FCA, I have to fundraise for FCA. The Lord has been faithful for 8+ years to keep my ministry going. Amen. A year later after I started working with FCA, Pastor Hiding comes to my house and he says, we believe, as we've been praying, that you're going to be our next youth director. Man, God is faithful. Amen? God is good. Last year in his faithfulness and his grace, they ordained me as a shepherd here in this house. You know, he's faithful. He's faithful, family. Here's a reality statement. Nothing ever given to God is ever wasted. Nothing. Not your pain, not your secret sin, not your job, your family, your addiction, your goals, your dreams, your career. He does not waste anything. Your hurt, your doubt, when you give it to him and give him access and you allow him to use it and you believe that he's faithful, he's going to do it. Amen? He doesn't waste nothing. He's going to use it for your good. All of it. Sickness. Broken hearts. Disease. Wars. Rumors of wars. All of it. He's faithful and sovereign and in control over all things. He's going to work it all for good. Amen? Amen. My last thought is this. Trust God's faithfulness for today and tomorrow. So good. Trust God that he is faithful today, tomorrow, and forevermore. This is what he's going to continue to do. But he didn't save you and I, and he didn't seal us with the Holy Spirit for us to just sit down and not do anything about it. He wants men and women and children to be faithful men and children. Women, men who are faithful to tell his story. Faithful men and women and children to proclaim and testify of God's faithful work in and through their lives. For you will overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, his story, in the word of your testimony, his story, our testimony, his glory, his faithfulness. He's going to be faithful. This is the kind of fruit that he produces. Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Yeah. How faithful is God? He's forever faithful. Jesus says this in John 14:16, and I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Hallelujah. Today, tomorrow, and forevermore. God, the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us is so invested in us that he's never going to leave us nor forsake us. Hebrews 13:5 says this, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For what he said, or he has said, he will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. I picked up my mom yesterday and I was taking her to the airport. She was headed to Miami for vacation. And her flight was at 6:20. I had to like get up at like 4 o'clock. And I said, "Mom, can you ask your friend, like he wakes up at 3. Like literally, I'm not that faithful, right? But if he doesn't wake up, I got you. I'll be faithful and I'll pick you up." So she gets there an hour before her plane flights. There's a whole line and she misses her plane completely. So they gave her a standby ticket. She don't know if she's going to fly. So she lets me know. I pick her up and she's in my car. And literally the whole ride, even as she's getting out the car, grabbing her bags, she's in her feelings, which is okay. God cares about her feelings. But he doesn't respond according to our feelings. He responds according to our faith. So she's like, "I lost this earring." And she's like so bummed out about it. And it has some diamonds. It's valuable. It's precious to her. And she's like on and on just talking about it. And I'm her son. I'm going to be faithful. And I'm going to take you to the airport. And I'm going to listen. She's getting out still bugging about this earring. And I just said, "Mom, have you lost the Holy Spirit? Mom, have you lost your salvation? Mom, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Let it go. Have fun. Go to Miami. Put it behind." Right? "Mom, if you miss your flight today, you can't get on, he's going to be faithful tomorrow." Amen. She got in the flight, texts me, and says, "The Lord is faithful." Amen. There's this Proverb 20, verse 6 says, "Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find?" The proverb is asking this to us. A lot of us can talk a good game, but are you walking it out? God wants faithful men and women and children to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to rely on his faithfulness, to proclaim his story, his faithfulness to save. God wants to use men and women and children to proclaim his faithfulness in your life, in my life, a testimony that God is faithful. And check this out. He invites us. He's with us forever. And the one who called you to it, it's faithful to do it. I have two more scriptures we're about to pray out. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24. "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely." He's faithful to do it. This is how he's going to do it. He's going to sanctify you. How? Your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation and believed in him were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. God's faithfulness will be with us today, tomorrow, and forevermore. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, that you keep your word. You keep your promises. Thank you for your story. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for your son. Thank you, Jesus, for living a perfect, sinless life and being the ultimate perfect sacrifice to pay for all of our sin. For those who believe and trust in you, Jesus, we are forgiven, and we thank you. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, the same Spirit, you, Jesus, you, Holy Spirit, rose Jesus from the dead 3 days later. Thank you for defeating the greatest enemy, death. And thank you for your promise that you would never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you for your forgiveness and your salvation. And thank you for the promise of your Holy Spirit. Would you empower us, Holy Spirit, to be bold, to share your story, the gospel, the good news. Holy Spirit, would you empower us to proclaim how faithful you have been in our personal lives. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're with us every step of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.